This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now. Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what's up? Good Thursday. What are you guys doing? How's everybody? What's happening?
Yeah, it's great.
What's going on?
It's great.
You should have heard what Buckley just called me.
Awesome? Or
it was a bad name.
Really?
Yeah,
Buckley?
You know, he's a real jerk.
You should have heard what you just called me.
Pretty abusive.
You know, Buckley's
sure
one of those.
You started it.
I don't know why. I hold Buckley to a higher standard because,
yeah, I don't know why either.
Well, like, when I hear you say something awful, I don't even...
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Dusty says the most horrific things to me. They're just beyond putrid. But when Buck says something that's not even that bad, it's just like if Buck curses, I don't know why it bothers me.
He's wholesome.
Yeah, I hold you to a better standard.
I swear a lot, I feel
I
like.
I know, and I don't like it. But you don't swear a lot. You really don't. It's a comparative sort of situation.
It's like the Trump thing, you know? Like Trump
what
came
is?
Out. Well, not you. I just mean like Trump, part of his evil genius is that
we'll execute the baby.
He can say anything.
Yeah.
Like he kind of created that.
Yeah,
where it's like there's no accountability for anything.
Yeah.
It's just I'm just going to keep lying and saying stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm an idiot. But no one cares because there's just so much of it.
Yeah, and then when you do get caught saying something, you're like, well, he didn't mean it because he said
Azerations.
But normal people can't do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying. Like, Buckley's a normal person. You and I are heathens and foul-mouthed.
So it doesn't... someone for Cleveland just
went... Oh, Manzardo!
Went
the former Portland Pickle just went yard.
Look at that stash.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
I didn't know he was
Wait,
a pickle.
Wait, Hillsborough Hop?
Maybe not, that's it. That seems a little bit more likely.
Right?
It could be though.
Why can't he be a pickle?
Well, look,
he could be, but that's a
he's one of the two. Hold on.
I'm willing to guess that's a hop, not a pickle.
One is a minor league baseball organization, the other is an independent local league.
Yeah,
so.
Kyle Manzardo becomes first Portland Pickles player to reach major
that
league
is awesome.
Baseball.
Kick ass.
Thank you.
So we gotta pick up the stool now and put it over our head?
What?
Clearly you don't go to Pickles games.
No,
do
I've
you
never
do
been
anything in the community.
Yeah. All the time.
You are like an old hermit. You're not even, I'm guessing you're not aware of Sabrina the Basketball Witch and her greatness.
Who's that?
Are you not aware of what she did last night?
Yeah, no, I saw it.
Okay.
I host a sports show, guys.
Did you?
Do you see her
get salty in
her post-game presser too?
Wait a minute. I'm the one who knows who Kyle Manzardo is.
You don't know about putting the stool over your head?
What do you do?
You got to put the chair over your head and then you dance with it. That's the celebratory.
They made a beer for it, right? There's like a chair lifter or chair raiser beer out here.
Yeah,
somebody made.
That's how you do it at the Pickles games. Although, to be fair, you did know that he was a pickle, so I will give you that. Thank I you. Was not aware.
Thank you so much.
I was not aware that he was a pickle.
Somebody around here has to know sports.
Somebody, for the love of God. What were we saying
before? Well, Buckley's yeah, just...
Buckley, I
he's
just
held knew to him. A higher standard.
Yeah. The other day, I was listening to a podcast, and Dr. Phil was on there, and Dr. Phil swore, and I was like, oh, Dr. Phil? Like, really? It's just weird. You don't hear Dr. Phil swear, so when Buckley says something horrible... it disappoints me. It's like if Jeff Russ said something horrible, I hold you lovable bearded men to better standards. You're better than that.
Here's the thing. I think that I swear plenty when I am talking to you guys between the glass during commercial breaks, but pretty much no other time. And that's mostly because I don't swear a lot around people that I don't know as well. So like if I'm in mixed company of people we work with, I may not be dropping all the same things that I would if it's just the three of
us. Well, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I don't think Suk is, but I am.
Yeah, no matter who's around care. Me, kids, you know, whatever. I'm just
you
a
don't care.
Priests, you know, loved ones. You I'm just like, ah!
You're the worst guy around here for bad things to be coming
that's,
out of their mouth.
That's
it's true.
That's ridiculous.
It's true. By the way, I have more hot Kyle Manzardo news.
You do.
Are you guys ready for this? Yeah,
please.
Do you know where he played his college baseball?
Well, if he was a pickle, I'm going to... I would have known if he had been a beef.
Was he a beef?
He was a Coug.
I was going to say, there's no way. I would have heard of him if he was a beef. I was going to guess like a Portland Pilot or something. He's a Coug, huh?
What a story. He just went yard in the... CS.
Well, my.
Yeah, the pickles, like, that's just, it's all most people that are just from local colleges. In fact, the pickle bros, they work out at my gym. I see them in there. Well, not all of them, but I see a lot of the pickles in there at the local crunch off of Division. They're in there squatting and thrusting. But as far as I know, I've never seen the mustached wonder.
Well, it's 2-1 Guardians.
Yes.
Giving them life, giving them hope. It's only in the third. But we were already kind of moving the Yankees onto the World Series.
Yeah, it did feel like a lot of people were already lumping the Dodgers and the Yankees into the World Series. And we're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Well, just like literally a minute ago with Danny, before we came on the air, we were kind of moving the Yankees along.
Well, 2-0.
And now we're not.
No.
Now we're not.
I'm a little nervous tonight. Although if history holds, I shouldn't be worried because the Mets are going to win like 11-2 tonight.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't had one competitive game in this series.
Who's pitching tonight?
Should
you know that?
Quintana.
Shouldn't a Mets fan know that?
And let's see. Who is it for the Dodgers?
I don't know who's going for the Dodgers. Let me pull this up. Quintana can roll. Oh, and Yamamoto.
Oh, yeah. Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
In fact, I saw him walking into the stadium. You know, and Seve pitched well last night. He didn't pitch bad. It just
you guys have to score runs. Did you know that you have to score in order to win?
Yeah, and then not give up 3-run homers to seal it to Shohei.
God, he hit that a long way.
Yeah, he did.
His swing is perfect.
Yeah.
Have you seen his numbers with runners in scoring position?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We talked about it yesterday. Remember
they just got better. He's like going back 20 games now or something like that. It's like 850 or something.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He was 6-for-8. And I don't know.
That was in the postseason, but if you go back to the regular season, he is 17 for his last 20 with runners in scoring position, hitting .850. It's the best in 50 years of anyone over that stretch.
At this point, if you're the Mets, just treat him like Barry Bonds, and it doesn't matter. Just put him on base. If there's runners on, I just put them on. I don't care if it loads the bases. The most insane thing is that Barry Bonds, a couple of times, they walked a run in as opposed to pitching to Barry Bonds with the bases loaded. And that's the ultimate, like, there's nothing we can do. And Ohtani's approaching that line.
All right. Well.
But, you know, the Mets had their chances last night. They can't hit. I think they had 4 damn hits all game.
I think they had
4 effing hits. Now I got to look that up, but I want to believe it's 4 or 5 hits.
Well, I was interested until Ohtani's home run, and then I turned it off.
Yeah, that was kind of one of those back breakers.
It's over.
Yeah. There was one of those, speaking of foul language, I got one of these from the other room, because, like, no one wants to watch it but me. So the...
Wait, the BTJ isn't rooting for Shohei?
She is, but only...
She's doing it silently?
She's doing it silently.
Out of respect?
Well, and I told her that we have our own Japanese player, so why can't she root for him?
Yeah.
And so... Man,
Senga, right?
Yeah. So, but she doesn't really care about him. It's only Ohtani fever.
Who cares? Not even Senga fans care about him.
I care. I care. But yeah, from the other room, I may have said something that was quite inappropriate, and I got one of these. What happened? And I was like, it doesn't matter.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was like, just it's over.
God, that was a moonshot.
Because she always tries to be like real positive, you know. She'll be like, "Well, it's not over," and I'm like, "It's 8-0. It is over." Just
I like that positivity though.
She does have a lot of positivity.
That's good.
Yeah, she's always a glass half full sort of thing.
Good.
But then deep inside, she's good loving it because it's so Otani. Because then it was one of those. She's like, "Well, what happened?" And then I was like, "Don't worry about it," because I knew the moment I said Otani hits a home run, she would come into the room simply to watch him trot around the bases, and then I'd have to hear about how handsome he is and how great he is, and then once again that the Japanese are better than us, and then you know. It's,
well, it seems to be true, though.
Yeah. Well, I am wearing my Team Japan hat today. Yeah. So,
I mean, they kind of are.
I hear it a lot.
They do a lot of...
They do well, a lot of they do a lot of
if I
things.
Were Japanese, I'd rub that in, too.
Yeah.
Particularly a Japanese-American.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Living in the States.
Oh, I get the business for it all the time.
No, you can't do that with everyone.
No.
Because then they'll, you know, you'll get hit with, you know, who knows what you'll get hit with. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
But if I were Japanese, I'd be touting the crap out of... the Japanese people.
Oh, absolutely.
They're great.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see those Japanese viewing numbers that I sent you?
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. They a population 10% of ours, they had 3 million more viewers of the last game.
Yeah, so Japan watched the Dodgers-Mets game. Was that game 3?
Mm-hmm.
Japan had more people watching than the U.S.
Yeah. When I tell people, like, you can't comprehend the level of star that Otani is over there. The most interesting thing that kind of blew me away is they have whatever their nightly news is, their local and national news. They set aside it's 2 to 3 segments a night for what Otani did that day. And when I was like, well, he didn't do anything. He like went 0-for-3 and had 2 walks. And they're like, so they still talk about that night. He gets his own like 20 plus minute block every news night just to talk about what he did. Like I've never seen a star in the U.S. whatever, LeBron, Tiger, Jordan, nothing. Dude, that guy over there is Godzilla. And that's kind of crazy that many people are tuning in.
Yeah, they had like 12 million, 13 million, and we had 9 or 10 million.
Yeah.
So like 10% of their whole country watching Shohei.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Beat the Mets.
I mean, it's not Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix, but...
Yeah. What number does that do tonight? Yeah, it's going to be monstrous.
In Japan, I bet it does big numbers.
Oh, you think?
Well, I will say that last week, the lock of the century was that I got to parlay.
I rode those coattails, too. It was a good bet, Sook.
Yes, you got to bet against Drake May and Spencer Rattler, and... I might have thrown a little cheddar there betting against Bo Nix. I had a little three-way going. I don't know what to do with Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler. I mean, what side do you go on?
And Rattler doesn't have any receivers. Do you know who is starting for him tonight at receiver? You will think these are fake people.
I don't know who's running out there.
Bub Means. What? That's one of them. And Mason Tipton. Those are the starting
That's
receivers.
That's not real.
That's real.
Chris Olave is out. Rashid Shaheed is out.
He's out for the year.
Yeah. Cedric Wilson Jr. will be there as well. But yeah, Bub Means going to get some action tonight.
What's the spread?
Broncos by 3 on the road.
2.5, 3. Yeah.
No Sertan for Denver. It's going to be a real rock fight.
Still love there's one person in particular trying to claim that Bo Nix is on a heater.
He's got those boys 4-3 right now.
That national host talking about Bo Nix on his heater. Okay.
Look at you taking shots.
Broncos orange. Let's ride.
Apparently, if Sean Payton texts you and tells you that a guy is great, under no circumstances are you allowed to say anything to the contrary.
And Sean Payton back in the dome tonight.
I think the Broncos are the play tonight. -2.5.
Well, the Broncos have a pretty good defense, so... I just
Rattler?
Don't feel well. Like, I don't
Dennis Allen play
tonight. You're betting on Bo Nix? I
no,
can't.
I just think if there's a play,
what's the play is the under, whatever the hell that
the
is.
The under, and I saw someone say just take both quarterbacks running the football because they're not good at throwing it and they're going to get chased out of the pocket. Yeah. So
watching Bo Nix at times quarterback sets quarterback play back like 15 years. I mean, it's atrocious.
Do you think that Bo Nix is the worst quarterback in the league?
Whoa.
Well, the way Sook talks about it, I wonder sometimes.
No, he's not. The worst quarterback in the league is Deshaun Watson.
Oh, okay.
And that's, by the way, that is like, that's not an opinion. Like, Deshaun Watson is one of the worst quarterbacks we've seen since realignment. Like, his numbers, in fact,
statistically, he is horrible.
Statistically, he's the worst quarterback. And the Browns offense, I believe the number is, it's the first team since realignment to go 6 weeks, the first six of the season, and not score 20 points. I mean, it's...
Yikes. You know what's interesting?
I mean, they're just dreadful.
One, two, three, four. There are five guys below Deshaun Watson in QBR.
Yeah.
Do you want to take a stab?
Well, are some of them like the rookies that haven't played a bunch?
No.
Okay.
Well, he's not a rookie, but he hasn't played a bunch.
He hasn't played.
Well, he has, but he hasn't.
So,
played
like,
a bunch.
Like an Aiden O'Connell or something like that.
There you go. That's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. O'Connell, I'm trying to think. Levis is probably on there.
Will Levis, second to last.
He's
is
dreadful.
Rattler on there? Has he been playing long enough?
No.
What about in Vegas? What about Minshew?
No.
Brissett, maybe? New
Brissett,
England?
That's one.
Mm, good one.
So you got two left.
Who are we missing?
You're missing the world's worst quarterback by 10. So QBR, his QBR is 60.
Dude.
Second to last is Will Levis, and his QBR is 71. That's how bad this guy is.
I'm trying to think of, it wouldn't be Daniel Jones, right?
Oh, no.
No, he's not that bad.
Jones is merely 27th.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm running out of...
Who's starting in Miami?
Well, wait a minute. Okay.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like Huntley or Skylar Thompson or something like that?
Not Miami. Okay, 29 is Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
His QBR, 76.6. 30 is Aiden O'Connell, 76.3. 31 is Jacoby Brissett, who's already been benched, 74.2. 32, I can't believe you didn't get this, but Bo Nix, 73.7.
Well, I thought we were already talking about Bo Nix, sorry.
33, Will Levis, 70.7. And 34, with a quarterback rating of 60.2, is... Do you feel that?
I do.
Do you feel
the tension?
Anthony Richardson.
Ah!
We should have got that one.
You should have gotten that one because Suits always.
We trash him rather regularly as well. When I say we, I mean Suits.
I just don't get why we try to make quarterbacks that aren't good. Why do we talk about them? Like, why is it such a bad thing to say that they're bad? And by the way, absolutely, Josh Allen, his first 2 years was bad, and Josh Allen got better. So I'm not saying that Bo Nix can't get better. I'm not saying that. Well, I am saying Will Levis can't get better.
Will Levis is the worst quarterback in the league.
I'm not going to argue with that.
I'm serious. You asked, he asked, is Bo Nix the worst quarterback in the league? No, he's a rookie.
Yeah.
And he's showing signs of getting better. Is he? Yes. Will Levis is the worst quarterback in the league, and all you have to do is watch two series of the Titans to understand that.
So, yeah, I understand that like guys can get better, and I'm not trying to say that none of these guys can go on to be quarterbacks, but like we've tried now for 2 years to make Anthony Richardson happen. And dude, he's awful. He can't stay healthy and he's terrible. And like all of a sudden, like Bo Nix won that game 10-9 against the Jets, and people are like, oh, Bo Nix. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen a quarterback play.
He just went and beat Aaron Rodgers head to head is all.
But like we manufacture. Boom. Like we're afraid to say a quarterback isn't very good, and I don't get it. We would never do that with a left tackle. If a left tackle got beat for six sacks, no one would be like, well, you know, he showed some good things out there in the run game. A receiver drops five passes, but with quarterbacks, we're like, well, you know, we do this in college. Drew Aller at Penn State. That son of a gun threw three interceptions and should have lost Penn State the game, but he made the two fourth down completions in that drive against USC when USC S'd the bed, and we're like, well, Drew Aller, he's a gamer. No, he's not. It's the weirdest position that we cover as the media.
All right, we got to go. We got to get started, although we already started.
Oh, yeah.
We're on fire today. You know, tomorrow we're not here because the Ducks are on.
Yeah.
So this is our Friday show.
Big Purdue game.
Yeah, the big game in West Lafayette.
Whatever.
So we got a lot to pack in today. We'll start with our poll question next on The Fam. So before we get to our poll question, I was looking at more quarterback stats.
Yeah. There are some bad ones.
You mentioned Bo Nix. Averages 5.
Yeah, it's like 5.3 yards a pass.
Well, it's 5.5.
Oh, 5.5.
Okay.
How dare you bite your tongue?
But that is not last. Okay. So I had to look that up. You mentioned that during the break. I was like, I wonder if that's dead last. And it's not.
Okay. Who's worse?
Jacoby Brissett.
There you go.
5.2.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Look, 5.1.
I will tell you right now, and this is hand to God, contract... Take everything aside. If I had to start a team with a full-time starter in the NFL. So I'm not, you know, I'm not counting Spencer Rattler, right? He wasn't the starter. He's not going to be the starter. He was there because of injury. The one guy that I would start my team with last, and it's not a money thing, just last, is Deshaun Watson. I would rather bet on Bo Nix getting better and improving. I would rather bet on Anthony Richardson, and that's saying something.
You almost mentioned Will Levis, and then you backed off.
No, I would. I would take Will Levis.
You would bet on Will Levis ahead of Deshaun Watson?
Yes, I would. Oof. Because whatever is happening with Deshaun Watson, there is no coming back from that. Will Levis, as bad as he is, especially early in the season, he had the most inexplicable decisions where he just would be like, I'm just going to like make the dumbest play you've ever seen. But there were things when you watch them play early on, they should have won those games. If you just eliminated the one awful, what the hell decision, it didn't look that bad. Now, unfortunately, it's getting worse as it goes on. The play is not, it's no longer just the one decision, and he's really bad. But early on, you can make the argument it was a Josh Allen sort of thing, where it looked okay, you could see something. I don't see anything with Deshaun Watson other than a broken human being that is just, he is broken inside, and I don't think you come back from that. So yes, I would actually bet, I'm taking a quarterback and I'm like, for the next 3 years, he is my starter, come hell or high water, I would pick Will Levis and Bo Nix and Anthony Richardson over Deshaun Watson.
See, I would not take Will Levis over Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Only because we've seen Deshaun play well. Look, I get it. He sucks.
Yeah.
But at least we know it's maybe in there.
Somewhere it used to be in there.
Will Levis, it's not in there, no, dude. That guy's not terrible. But Nix, 4 picks in his first 2 games, no tutties.
Yeah.
Since 5 picks, 5 tutties and 1 pick.
Yeah.
So he's getting better.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
how could you say he's not getting better?
He played last week, he played one of the worst first halves.
That was pretty ugly.
That I've ever seen in my life. But now, the second
they
half.
They almost came back.
It wasn't because of him. So, look. Whatever you want to say about him, maybe there is something that clicks. Again, it
takes time.
I will not judge anyone off of 5 or what is 6 starts now? Yeah, 6 starts. That's ridiculous.
3-3.
But the idea that somehow he's responsible for those wins, it's not.
I don't think anyone said that.
He's been very bad.
The conversation was, is he getting better? And I don't know how you could say he's not when he has 5 tutties and 1 pick in his last 3 games. In his first 3 games, he had 4 interceptions and threw no touchdowns. He's also, last week, he had 61 rush yards, which is pretty good.
Yeah, against the Jets, he had 60 yards passing.
I know. So. But again, the question is just, is he getting better? And it's
marginal,
clear
but yeah,
in the stats that he is. But tonight, he's going to light up Spencer Rattler like a Christmas tree.
I would say the right side of that game is indeed Bo Nix, which is saying something.
So you agree with me?
Yes. Betting on Spencer Rattler cautiously. Or Bo Nix, I will bet on Bo Nix.
What do you mean cautiously?
Did you feel like that was a full-throated support of your notion there?
No, I didn't, to be honest.
And by the way, people are bringing up, and it is true, we are forgetting, we've turned the page, we are forgetting the number one pick from last year.
Yeah, Bryce Young.
I said full-time starter.
Yeah, well, he was a full-time starter until he wasn't.
He got his ass sat down. Now, I will say that for however many games that was, 16 and then whatever it was this year, I think it was like 3 games, there were no signs of progress. Like, again, doesn't mean he can't have a career resurrection somewhere, but that was no one did him any favors, but you've seen since he sat down, Andy Dalton, who's, a competent bridge quarterback, Andy Dalton doesn't look like that. Bryce Young is probably not meant for this league.
He's in the Will Levis category.
He is, yes, where you are.
It's just not.
If you're betting on that, then
it's not there.
No.
All right, poll question. Yesterday, X at 1080 The Fan, we asked you, if Oregon is to make the college football playoff, which team would you most want to avoid playing once there? Texas wins at 33%. Georgia, 31%, Ohio State, 28%, and Alabama, 8%.
Yeah.
Okay, and then for today, the question is this. Which surprise team, currently unbeaten, would it be most dandy to see finish that way?
Hmm.
BYU.
Yeah.
Army. Navy, Indiana.
Yeah. I hate to do this, but it's Navy.
Navy?
Service Academy.
Well, you prefer Navy over Army.
I do. My dad
right now, Army is winning.
My dad was in the Navy. I love the military academies. I have the utmost respect for him, and I root for Army every day, minus one, and that's when they play Navy. Suck it, Army. But, dude, the service academies, I love.
You're a BYU guy.
I am, but I love those schools.
Well, right now, Army has 44%, yeah. Navy only 23%, yeah. Indiana 18%, and BYU 15%.
It would be amazing to see BYU run the table.
So sad.
And it wouldn't matter because they would all get to the postseason and get hammered by someone really good, but it would be freaking awesome to see. And BYU schedule, there's a lot of winnable games, but someone wiser than me once said, and I couldn't agree with this more, if the argument to a team being a playoff team, the only real argument you can point to is look at their schedule, it means that that team's not for real and there's some losses coming. We do this every year where we're like, oh, look at the schedule. And we know they're not that good, but we think the schedule lines up. That's not the way college football works. You know, it's too hard to go undefeated, even with a soft schedule. You usually end up stubbing your toe somewhere. And BYU's playing really good. I just, you know, I don't think that that's sustainable. That's not 12-0 good.
Well, I don't think any of them are going 12-0.
No.
That's the whole point. The question is like, who do you want to see go 12-0? And apparently, Army greater than Navy.
Man, that sucks.
In your face.
No.
And BYU. Another in your, a double in your face.
Beat Army. I know doubles.
All right, what are the Big Ten and the SEC discussing? We will get to that next, but first, Buck with SportsCenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
What?
You rarely have good questions.
What?
You rarely have good questions.
What?
You rarely have good questions.
What?
Am I to assume that Joey is on the line? I think we have Joey Harrington for some reason. Nobody wants to hear from that guy, but apparently he's on the air.
What is happening?
It's an ambush!
What? What? What do you want?
I want to talk to my fans. They told me I wasn't going to get to talk to you tomorrow. And I was like, no, it's not 7-minute abs. It's eight. Like, you can't even get a good workout in seven.
This is like the old, we used to have a producer named Bernie who was, boy, was he rough around the edges. Yeah. But, man, he did a bit called.
Surprise guest.
It was called.
It was like a.
I forget what he called it, but he would have surprise guests like this on for us. He got us Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
He got us Chuck Norris.
It was random people.
Yes, dude. We talked, and we didn't know who it was, and so we had to just talk to them. It was a really fun bit. And nerve-wracking.
Incredible.
Who else was on? Brett Michaels?
Yeah, Brett Michaels did the. I'm trying to think. We had John Parr, St. Elmo's Fire.
John Parr.
Who John Parr took that seriously, like he was going to make some sort of comeback by being on our show, which was a little awkward. But
He wanted to come and do a concert.
Who's John Parr?
He's the guy that sings St. Elmo's Fire. You remember that song from the 80s?
Oh, no, I was too young.
If you heard Saint Elmo, we're the same age. If you heard Saint Elmo's Fire, you would know that song.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure I would.
Well, anyway, we didn't know Joey was coming on today.
I know, isn't this great? How can we? I was like, how can we like have the Ohio State game and then not talk the following week? Like that's just fair. Like no.
This is how I want to do it. I just want to have Joey come home and me be on his couch and he not know how I got into the house. Except he would probably call the authorities, whereas this, we'll talk lovingly. But yes, one day I do want to surprise Joey in his home.
I actually thought about having you guys over for the game one day. That would be kind of fun. Then I was like, no, what am I doing? That's stupid.
I can't make it.
We've determined that Rob does nothing. Like, it's just Rob is at that stage of his life where it is either a restaurant, his couch or a golf course. And if it's not one of those three things,
that is accurate.
It ain't happening. He didn't even go down to the Ohio State game.
Mm-mm. Well, so here's the thing. If I would have told you that you have the opportunity to sit comfortably, you know, on a couch and, you know, larger format television with replay and close to the fridge and no lines for the bathroom and you can get a beer whenever you want and not have to pay extra for it. Like, that's a pretty compelling argument not to go to a game.
Yes. But
then Ohio State comes to town and it's like, giddy up! I'm cooking on your grill.
We saw you down there. You were on TV. Did you know that?
I've never been on TV.
Have you ever been on TV? Yeah. So you were. What were you doing? Like hitting some sort of gong or something? What was that?
I don't know. So I was. Okay. So we got. I had a couple appearances before. Did the Heisman House and that kind of fun stuff before the game. And we were got down there super early and we're parked by the stadium and walking back across the footbridge to campus because of course you know you have to go get a breakfast beer at Rennie's before you know any good game day. And I ran into Matt Castle. I hadn't seen him in, you know, probably a decade. And, you know, we're just catching up. He's like, hey, my producers, because he does the pregame.
Yeah, saw him.
For NBC. Yeah, and he's like, hey, my producer wants to know if you want to bang the drum. I was like, yeah, sure, what is it? He's like, oh, it's a big drum, and you bang on it right in front of the student section before the game. I was like, yep, yeah, sweet, whatever. You know, just find me. I'll be down there. And so I get down to the game or get to the field pregame and bump into Verone McKinley. He's like, hey, I hear you're banging the drum. I was like, yeah, how did you know? He's like, oh, it's a thing. I was like, what do you mean? I thought I just like banged on this drum. He's like, oh no, it's a thing. And you better not screw it up. Like, don't be coming with like, just like some like bang, you know, going crazy and like bang on it and on the sides. Like you got to have some sort of beat. I was like, oh man, like I signed up for, I didn't realize what I was signing up for. I think is that. So
there's pressure.
There was pressure. And I was like, what could I do that would actually have some sort of, you know, I don't know, that would fulfill both the having some sort of beat, but also not having picked up a drumstick in like, you know, two decades. And I was like, oh, Bombs Over Baghdad. And then, you know, I could be like, I just had Bombs Over Baghdad, like the Outkast song in my head in front of the student section. And then some dude with like no shirt on and overalls and a cowboy hat showed up with this giant drum. And then they said, ready, go. I was like, sweet. And that's how you have TV magic.
I tell you what's noticeable about you when you see you on TV, when one sees you on TV, is your on point hair.
Yeah, it really is.
Never out of place. Yeah,
it's been fantastic.
Really impressed.
Well, I gotta thank Valerie Jean for that. Like that's some chromosomal work there. You know, we've had this conversation.
I thought that was your hairdresser, but it's your mom. It's mom's. Okay, I got you. No, were you lubed up for the gong dong?
I mean, after the breakfast beers at Rennie's?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No, because you know, when you're, and that's like, I was going down, went down with a couple of friends, like, we could drive, like, so you could relax. I was like, no, like, I have like a 2-hour appearance before, like, right before the game. It's like, not like, it's like you're saucing before, you know, and kissing babies and taking pictures. Right. And
you don't
want
to smell like booze when mom brings her little son up to meet her hero, Joey Harrington.
Exactly. So no, I was not lubed up.
I was. I was in section 28, like row 73, and let me tell you, I'd had a few, and that I don't like to do recency bias because you just it's a top three game that I've ever been to in any situation. It was amazing, and I'm not even, you know, I was the one person there not wearing Duck or Ohio State game. I was just there as an observer, and it blew me away. It was everything I could want out of a game. It was just it was an incredible environment.
I told people that, and we've had this conversation. I know we have that. I feel like Autzen actually got quieter after the renovation, because what it did is it backed the fans away and it raised the overhang on the visitor side. So you lost some of that sound. You know, the sound would just bounce back and forth between the two sides in the bowl, and then it would bounce up and down off the roof. Since they raised the roof back and moved the seats, it's created a thing where, like, some of the sound leaves. That was as loud. I mean, that was it. Like, that was, I was standing down there when they came out of the tunnel, and I was like, oh my God. Like, I am immediately, like, rocketed back to what this was like 65 years ago, whatever it was, how long ago.
I went to the UW Oregon game last year at New Husky Stadium, and I remember thinking to myself and talking to my buddy, I said, because I got to play at Old Husky Stadium, and I said, that's the first time I've seen or heard New Husky Stadium sound like the old one. And I remember being like, that is the loudest I've seen a game in the Pac-12. I thought it was louder than anything I'd seen at Autzen, and I'd been a couple big games. And then at that game, you retook the crown. As great as the environment and as loud as it was at Husky Stadium, the Ohio State one was different. I left with my ears ringing. It felt like I had left a concert. It was incredible on national TV and that stage. And you saw a lot of national media members, you know, that is as good a PR for that program as I think you've ever had. And that includes the two games playing for the national title. I just think that is a standalone game. I really think that for a lot of people cemented Oregon status.
I could not agree more. Like that, if nothing else, it was an incredible showcase for Autzen and the Oregon football program.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, it's almost been like, I don't want to say like a cult, you know, people say, oh, Autzen Stadium. And it's kind of like this cult, like, oh, you got to, you know, it's the band that you saw. And it's like, oh my God, we saw them at this tiny little venue and it was so great. But everybody else who sees them, you know, didn't see them at that spot. And so it's like, yeah, it really couldn't have been that good. This was the moment where the entire country, literally the entire country, was finally watching Oregon. And not only, you know, I asked Verone, he came on Talking Ducks maybe last week on Root Sports Thursdays and on our YouTube channel. And I said, what's the perception of the Oregon football program around the NFL locker rooms? He's like, we're the guys that can get close, but we can't win the big one. Like, we're the ones that that make a splash and want people to see us. But then once the lights are on, we don't finish. And there's some truth to that, right? You know, whether it's the 2010 national championship or the 2015. Was the other one?
That was before that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Again, I'm 14, with you.
14 season together. 15 when the game happened.
I think it was 14 season 15 game. Anyway, like you put the lights on, and every time the country's eyes are watching Oregon, it's like, when they came up short. This wasn't, there was no shortness here. It was on point in every aspect.
Yeah, it was amazing. The two recent Washington losses for Dan Lanning, well, three really, the Pac-12 championship game too, those were all that way too, because I feel like those were, I mean, I don't remember what everyone was ranked during those games, but they were high. They were big national games, and Oregon lost those. So I get that. I see why they have that reputation, but man.
And let's not forget the greatest mascot, the Hugh Jackman remake. I mean, just everything. The crowd, the team, the
band. It was a perfect night.
It was the sunset. Yeah. I mean, for God's sake, like, there you go.
This is quite a treat, and we must talk about the game. Do you want to talk about the game with us?
I would love to.
Since you you forced yourself onto our show.
Foisted, yes.
Yeah.
Foisted. Yeah, okay.
Ambush.
Sit tight. That's Joey Harrington. For those who don't know, he comes on every Friday, but we don't have a Friday show, so he's like, I'm not sitting idle on Friday. I'm coming on. So here he is, former Ducks, former Lions quarterback. More with him on the Ohio State win and what's next for the Ducks next on The Fan. Yeah, this is St. Elmo's Fire. We're with Joey Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. Do you remember it now?
I know that. Man in Motion.
We used to love that song here. So so Bernie went and got John Parr on the air. And John Parr, I think his career has gone south. And so he was towards the end. He's like, hey, you guys want me to come out? Put on a show.
He was so excited.
We're we were like, yeah, no, not really, John. But thanks for coming on.
He's kind of doing a bit. But, you know, hey, it's great.
Okay, so let's talk about the game. I don't know if you saw, but Oregon beat Ohio State. Yeah, they beat him.
Okay.
Thought we were talking about the Purdue game coming up.
But... I was just there for the party. I don't know. There was actually a game.
Yeah, there was.
You were actually right in one sense. You were when we had you on last Friday. You were like, well, look, everybody's saying this is such a great defense for Ohio State, but you were like, well, is it? Yeah. Who stands out? And that kind of ended up being true. Yeah. I mean, you know, they burnt that corner, Burke, and he's supposed to be really good. I mean, we know Downs is good. We know they have good players, but they didn't really have a guy who took over the game.
He had a decent pass rush that put some pressure, but no one...
Of course, Oregon's defense really didn't either, but...
No, neither defense had a guy that really could tilt the game. I mean, other than Hartman, who made the huge play, other than that, you know, both offenses were the star of that game.
But and that's the evolution of college football. I mean, we saw it with Nick Saban and, you know, those first few years at Alabama where he was just manhandling people on defense, you know, after he left in like 07, 08, 09. But, like, things have shifted. And you saw even those SEC defenses that were so incredible through the year playing in the championship games and giving up, you know, 20, 30, 40 points. Like, that's the evolution of college football. That's why I thought Jordan Birch was going to be that one standout guy, right? The way that he looked last week, I thought he was, you know, starting to come into his own and was going to be the one guy where it's like, okay, you know, the Jadeveon Clowney that just makes the – like, we're not taking anything away from Ohio State's defense. They're really good. Yeah. They're a really good unit. In the same way that Oregon's defense is really good. It's a really good unit. You know, how about that? I mean, if you want to talk about, like, individual players, how about the stop that Uyunglele made, you know, on, what was it, 3rd and 1?
Yep.
And just put it, I mean, that was a massive play to force to get the ball back. Like, those are the type of plays that each team made. Because they have really good players. But there wasn't a game-changing player or a game-changing play made by a defensive player. Yeah. They were both just really good. And in this day and age of college football, really good defenses will usually give up, you know, 3-4-ish, 5-ish touchdowns against really good offenses. Yep. That's the nature of the game now.
You know who the game-changing defensive guy was? It was Dan freaking Lanning. That's who. With his little, what did you think of that? The 12 men on the field penalty.
I mean, it was brilliant. You know, and Suki, you remember these days on those Friday practices before Saturday games, you would sit there and you would go through from start to finish every possible scenario that you could, you know, all right, here we go, punt. You know, punt team is out, and then you go punt safe, and then it's hands team for onside kick, and then it's this situation on defense, and, you know, that's you'd work on the Hail Mary, and then you'd work on prevent Hail Mary, you know, knocking it down. Like, you literally work on every single possible situation, including that one, in the event that it comes up, and lo and behold, it did. I think you credit Dan and Tosh for having the guts to pull it off.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, that's a gamble.
Well, yeah, and the scenario actually presented itself, and oftentimes it, I mean, the vast majority of time doesn't. How many, do you know of others like that? Like, it got me to thinking, and I didn't want to ask Dan about it yesterday because apparently he was tired of that line of questioning. But how many situations are there in football where the team that commits the penalty benefits. Do you know?
Well, you could do it if you're taking a delay of game because you're too far for a field goal but too close to fully punt, and you try and back it up to get more space, but that's often declined. I've been trying to think of situations where taking a penalty or incurring a penalty on purpose is a more benefit. If you get beat by a DB, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, just pull the guy down, and
especially in college, because it's not spot.
And you take the 15. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And most of in the NFL, they've closed all these. Over the years, there's been a handful of these loopholes, and the NFL closes them real fast. So, yeah, there's not many. That's probably the best one is, even in the NFL, even though it's a spot foul, drag the guy down, and you see it.
Yeah.
If you're beat,
42 yards is better than touchdown,
Exactly. Just drag him down when you know that you're cooked, and, that's and by the way, Ohio State got cooked. From an X's and O standpoint, you want to talk about an ultimate backfire, which is why, if these two teams play again, I'll be interested to see, Ohio State thought they could play man coverage. That's one of those, you haven't seen a team, neither one of those squads had seen the other or something like it. But Ohio State went out there with their guys and their NFL DBs and were like, we're playing man. We're not going to let you run the ball. We're putting extra guy in the box and good luck beating us. And Oregon torched them.
Now, real quick, Joey, Suk, you asked Dan Lanning about that yesterday. Yeah. Read between the lines of his answer. What was he saying?
He was basically saying, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
Because he said, his quintessentially, he said, I get what they were trying to do.
Yes. Basically what he said was, they were concerned about us stopping the run, and they thought they could stop our pass. That was his way, and when I took that was a wink, wink, nod, nod. You thought you could do something against us, and we kicked your ass with it.
Yeah. And Gabriel put it right in the breadbasket. Oh, here's another one. Fake injury to slow the offense.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah.
That's a big one these days.
Yeah, I've thought about there. We would have, again, things that you work on. We would have a signal. The defense would, and again, this loophole has been changed, where it was, whatever it was, throw your arms up in an X, or where you would signal a fake injury for someone to run as they're running off the side, to run to the sideline and then fall down and grab their hamstring. Those are things that are worked on every single week.
You bastards.
I did it as a center. Mm-hmm. I always tried to squeeze the ball in tense moments, third and short. You would squeeze the ball, and a lot of times you could get someone to jump. And you're not allowed to – centers aren't allowed to try to do that, head nods or something, or when we're in shotgun, you would shotgun, you'd look in between your legs, the guy would raise it, and then you would put your head back up and snap the ball. If it was a short yardage or a big third down, I would always put my head in between my legs multiple times try to get a cheap five. But on a real goal line situation – the defense attack and the linebackers are in the A gap. If you squeeze the ball real hard, a lot of times you can get a cheap 5 yards. And it's technically illegal, but you never get called for it. So why not give it a whirl? It may work once every 15 times, but hey.
But that one time.
Yeah, makes a difference.
Well, I didn't know two of the three of us were such cheaters.
Oh, 100%.
No idea.
I was a master of the leg whip and, all those wonderful things.
All right. Well, we're out of time. Can you believe that? That's it. Joey.
That's it.
See you on the couch.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. What a surprise.
Yeah. It's just always good to talk to you guys.
Sure is.
The week wouldn't have been right if we didn't debrief.
Agreed.
Well, forget Purdue, but
yeah.
Next week, what's the game after that? Illinois? We can talk about Illinois.
Literally, Alabama forgot Vandy.
Yeah,
I know.
Hey,
a short week. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm just saying, exactly, they gave Illinois all they could handle last week. New quarterback, short week.
True. It's a spot where you should think that way, no matter who's playing. This is a trap spot. I trust Lanning, and I trust the Ducks, and I trust them on both lines for this one.
I know. I'm just trying to build drama. You know how it goes.
Well, now we have to watch it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Have a great weekend. Bye. Joey Harrington on our show. courtesy of Mods PDX, the future of building is here. How about that, Jace?
How about
that? Were you excited by
that? Surprise!
I was like, hey, I love talking to Joey.
Yeah.
It's good people.
Yeah, he wanted to, you know, isn't that great? He wanted to, he just wanted to talk about Ohio State.
Yeah, I texted him to say no show Friday, so we'd miss our usual hit. And he said, wait, not even like that one time when there was a Friday game? And I said, no, no, it's an earlier game, so no. And he's like, we got to talk about the Ohio State game. I'm like, you want to come on? He's like, yeah, I want to come on.
Throw his O.
Got things to say.
That's right.
All right, the Big Ten and the SEC, their big grand plan. We'll get into that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.